You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And as I was saying, we're here in Atlanta. It's so loud, we blew out the microphone. That's something you probably could do. Tim Tebow joining us, and nobody better to try to put into perspective what a game like this means.
How do you put this into perspective? We just got to watch all those highlights of this game being played in so many different places, so many different facets. You'd be able to watch it in championships, SEC championships, national championships. It's just incredible. What a rivalry that Kirby and Nick have created. And then they get another opportunity. And who knows, maybe if Alabama wins this game, you never know if there could be another one in the future. Who knows, but what an exciting environment it is.
Tim, obviously your career is well known. You played in two national championship games, mega games all over the board. But when you walk in here, when you walked in here in 08, you were here, of course, in 06 as well and in 09. What is it like to lead your team out here, especially in 2008, trying to get back in this thing?
Yeah, knock off number one in Alabama. It was always the number one goal, right? It's always the number one goal was get to Atlanta, because we always believed if we were able to get to Atlanta and win the SEC championship, then that would put you in the right position for every other goal, because we also know how hard it is. It's one of the most difficult things to do, to get through SEC play. And that's what's incredible about what Georgia's done. 3 years in a row. Like, it's ridiculous. And you know, their run has been, fascinating, but Alabama's put themselves, because of a 4th-and-31 in a situation where this game still really matters.
Let's start with that. You're down in Gainesville after we last saw you, getting ready to be honored. I want to talk about that in a second, but when you were tuning in on that game, just take us through your emotions of knowing how difficult a situation they were in.
Well, it's one of the things that we talked about last Saturday all morning is, yes, is Auburn a great team? No. But do they have enough talent at home with Jordan Hare behind them for it to be a scary place? Yes. Just ask Georgia. Georgia was lucky to get away with the win. So was Alabama. It's one of the hardest places to play in the country. In 06, when we were able to win the national championship, guess what? We lost at Jordan Hare. Look, 2 years ago with Bryce Young, and they barely pulled out a win. Also, we're fortunate with a lot of calls. All of the games year after year after year that are so hard to win in Jordan-Hare, and I think there's a lot of people kind of knocking Alabama, but we should also give Auburn, I think, a lot of credit for the way that they played. And then there's Alabama's a resilient team.
People have called it a miracle. I find it awkward asking you about miracles, but seriously, that was not a miracle pass. I mean, that took tremendous skill to make that play.
It was a great throw. It was really smart of him to buy time, to be able to find the one-on-one that they had in the back end line and give him a throw that, put it in a place where he could make the catch. Obviously, I think Auburn would like to do it again and put some guys in a better situation to stop it, but that is a really poised quarterback that has gotten better throughout the year. It's not the same quarterback that played Texas week two. It is a quarterback that has improved the entire season, and he's playing like one of the best players in the country.
Have you ever had that much time to complete a pass?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean, we make so much out of, quarterback play, but I think that play showed you when a talented athlete has some time to look at where he could go,
no doubt.
Makes a difference.
And you got receivers. And that's one of the things that Alabama, I don't think people really understand, just how talented his receiving core is. There's so many players that can make plays and so many guys throughout the season that have stepped up, receivers, tight ends, running backs. And I think that's one of the things. There's so many other teams that are talking about their weapons, but Alabama still has a lot of weapons that they use in a lot of different ways.
Tim, I've been so eager to get your view because it seems like everywhere we've all gone this week, Florida State has been the topic of conversation about what happens tomorrow night in, at Bank of America and whether they get in or not, assuming they win, and that has not happened yet. And there's some real issues going on right now because FSU has just issued a comment saying they are working through the process with Tate Rodemaker. He got hit late in the game, as you saw, a hit to the head, and by no means is he a sure thing tomorrow. With him or without him, your assessment of FSU, having had a pretty good view of them for 4 hours.
Well, I think this is a really, really difficult conversation because you're looking at, let's just say they win tomorrow night and they perform well, and you're looking at a team that beat LSU, beat Clemson, and they're undefeated. And then you also have to say, well, with the eye test, are they the best four? I think last Saturday night, they did not look like one of the best four when they played Florida. And I think you would look at Texas right now. I think you could look at Alabama. You could look at Washington or Oregon and say with the eye test, I think they're better. But there's a lot of weight put on conference champions, as there should be. There's a lot of weight put on going undefeated, as they should be. That's a very difficult thing to do. And so this is going to be very interesting. If it does turn into chaos, does the committee have the courage, if they think it's the right thing, to not have an undefeated team? I mean, I have difficult thinking through it myself when we're just up there talking and trying to figure out all these different ways and these different scenarios, because could you actually not have an undefeated FSU ACC champion in the college football playoff? But if you step back and you say, on a neutral field, who's the four best teams? I think there could be an argument, depending on tomorrow night, that there's a possibility it could be other teams.
Yeah, and I want to I don't want to read through the lines, but I want to ask you, because you're somebody that's a lot more familiar with concussions than I am, but when they say they're working through the process and it will be a game day decision, and they also add FSU officials, and we'll see what that means for tomorrow. That is not encouraging.
It's not, and who knows what they're saying, if that's honest, if it's gamesmanship, if they're just trying to protect him, if he's not going to play, they already know it, and they're going to play somebody else. It's hard to read into that.
But it's ominous as somebody who has been trying to read athletic department officials. Final question, though. If they go from Jordan Travis to Tate, I don't know much about their third team player. You saw him, I guess.
It's,
and we're talking about a hill, aren't we?
Yes, there is. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I really believe Jordan Travis is one of the best players in the country. And I want to say this too. I think he's also one of the best leaders in the country. And without Jordan Travis, it's not a knock to Tate and the rest of the team. They're just not the same. Jordan Travis, he's an alpha male for that team. He is a playmaker on third down. Like, Jordan Travis makes plays all over with his arms, with his legs, is a leader. He's a fiery leader through the entire season for the last three seasons. This is a kid that has gone from, an average player to one of the best players in the country, and his team has seen that. They rally around him, and they're galvanized by him. And I just think it's important to, if we're really saying the best team, it's not the same team without Jordan that it was with Jordan. And that's to praise the kid, and it's not to knock the team. I just think it's the reality of their situation.
I've had three final questions, but I'd be remiss. After this weekend's over, you're going to be honored with, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but going into the College Football Hall of Fame, I've seen it. I see the look in your eye. Describe how special that is going to be.
Well, it's humbling. It's special. It really is. It's, I've said this a couple times. One of the special things about football is you really can't accomplish anything by yourself. And I had the privilege of playing with some amazing players and for some amazing coaches. And I think together we were able to accomplish some special things. Not everything that we always wanted, but we were able to accomplish some special things.
Well, I'm just glad your wife gets to see you, because, I mean, right until now, all she's been doing is hearing about you being honored. Now she's going to get to see it.
She gets to be part of it. There's no doubt. That will be very exciting.
I know it's going to be an incredible couple of days for your entire family and for your very, very extended family. All of us here, we're very proud.
Thanks, Paul.
Congratulations.
Man. Thank you.
Tim Tebow joining us here. We'll take a short break. We're back with many more guests right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we're back here in Atlanta where everybody is curious about what our next guest is going to say. Not that anything has happened yet, but the action is underway. Heather Dinich joining us from Grapevine. Heather, thank you so much. Let me start with what is the developing story, and that's Rodemaker from Florida State. May or may not play. He may not play. We don't know that. But give us the view of this committee on Florida State so far, and what do you think the ramifications moving forward could be?
Well, the view of Florida State so far, Paul, seems to be that if they are to win and look decent in a win against Louisville with Tate Rodemaker playing a quarterback, it's hard to imagine them being excluded from the top four. I think if it's status quo and Rodemaker plays, Florida State would have to play extremely poorly or lose to be left out or open up the debate, right? But if they're down to their third string quarterback, this might be the only time that the selection committee does project. You will hear committee chair Boo Corrigan say all season, we don't project, we don't project. Well, there is a clause in their protocol. It says if their availability of key players, and it says it could impact the postseason performance. That's something the committee could consider. Now, they would obviously, they're all upstairs. They're going to watch the games tomorrow together. I mean, who knows? Their third string quarterback could come out and win by 2 touchdowns. None of us know that, right? But clearly, and Boo Corrigan has said this, even with Rodemaker in the starting lineup, they're a different team. We all see that. We all know that. The third string quarterback, that would present a different issue for the selection committee.
And listen, whatever is going on with him, assuming that they win the game, it probably will not be an issue 3 weeks from now. So it seems like it's just more dramatic about tomorrow night and their odds of winning than anything else. So let's get to some of the other issues. And Heather, by now, I'm sure you can anticipate the questions before they come out because I'm pretty confident I've heard you be asked. You've been asked all these questions before, but what do you think beyond that is going to be the biggest issue that they face beginning tomorrow night?
Paul, no game is going to have a greater impact on the selection committee than the SEC championship game, because if Alabama does beat Georgia, that opens up what could be a controversial debate in that committee meeting room. Because assuming you have Michigan, if you have undefeated Florida State, and you have the Pac-12 champ, who gets that fourth spot? the head-to-head, I promise you, between Texas and Alabama to this point has meant a lot to the selection committee members so far, as evidenced by their rankings to this point. The question would be, does Alabama knocking off their number one team change the way they view the Tide? And if so, is it enough to overcome Texas? And if so, what do you do with Georgia? No number one team has ever fallen out of the top four on Selection Day. But if you're honoring Texas's head-to-head win, then what do you do with Alabama's head-to-head win against Georgia? So that's the scenario in which Georgia could be left out, because you could have a top four that looks like Michigan, the Pac-12 champ, Alabama and Texas, or Alabama and Georgia. Any way you slice it, Paul, if Alabama wins the SEC, somebody's going to be really mad.
Heather, I realize these are a group of mostly college people, administrators, various people from different walks of life. This is not the Supreme Court, who, in theory, can't make it up. They rely on law. So I bring that up to say, so many times I hear commentators say, well, they've always done it. They've never done this. They've never done that. How much of the past since 2014 factors into the mindset when these people start trying to figure out who's in and who's out?
Well, they're not supposed to factor in the past at all, which is something that's very difficult for Georgia fans to accept. But is there bias in the room? That's a subjective system, right? I think where the past can come into play is in a situation like if Washington loses a close game to Oregon and other upsets happen. Florida State loses, Texas loses, Georgia eliminates Alabama. Then you can have a scenario comparable to last year when TCU got in without winning the Big 12 because they beat K-State during the regular season. Washington could say, hey, we beat the Pac-12 champs during the regular season. So I think that's a sort of a way that the past can come into this, just like the Rademacher situation at Florida State and 2014 Ohio State going down to their third string quarterback. Some of those precedents do come into play a little bit in those conversations. But they're not supposed to judge teams based on, say, back-to-back national titles, conferences, past performances. It's supposed to be this year, this year's body of work, period.
Heather, another thing that's become a narrative, and it shouldn't, but it is, and everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people that I've been with have used this, and that's what happened to TCU in the championship game. Completely blowing past the fact TCU beat Michigan, but that's not really what people are saying. And a lot of folks have said this committee should not allow another TCU debacle. Do you think that registers with some of these folks in that room, or are they disciplined enough to leave all the noise at the door?
That's a great question, and one you have to probably ask each individual selection committee member, to be honest, but their job is to pick the four best teams. But there are certainly people out there who would argue that they've picked the four most deserving teams on occasion, or some of the most deserving teams. But CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock said on the last teleconference that most deserving is not a phrase that's in their lexicon. So, do they have conversations in the room? Well, how do you think Florida State would fare with its third-string quarterback against Georgia if they played? Yes, they do. They have Hall of Fame coaches and players who are sitting at the table, who are part of these conversations and different perspectives. So, yes, all of those things are part of the conversation, but as to whether or not you're going to have another 59-0 or whatever it was type score, I don't think they're sitting in there saying we need to prevent that from happening. They're saying we need to get the four best teams based on the information that we have right now.
Heather, finally, we ask you all these questions, but I'm curious as a really an outstanding reporter, which you are, even though you're now becoming a television celebrity around the world. I'm particularly interested in how you go about the weekend, because clearly you want to get a view, a perspective. You know a lot of these people. There's also protocols. How do you go about it? I mean, you're right there where the action is, where all of us are speculating about and on.
Paul, I think former committee chair Jeff Long might have summed it up the best when he called me Heather Lurker in the very first year of the playoff. They're literally right upstairs, and I will hang out around outside there to say hello to some committee members, just kind of chat people up a little bit, and also just have some conversations. And I do know the protocol. I've been doing this for a decade. And Paul, I have never seen it this wide open. The people in the room upstairs don't know what they're going to do. So people should just be prepared that while we haven't seen many things happen, it's an unusual year and there could be some firsts.
Well, just go ahead and tell them that the two people that should be deciding this are me and Stephen A. Smith, and the SEC is in great shape. Heather, great to have you on. I can't wait to hear more from you Sunday and throughout the week. I will see you very soon. Enjoy the weekend in Grapevine. Heather Dinich joining us from the epicenter of the college football world. There are a lot of other things going on, but in the bubble that we live in, nothing more important than where she is. We'll take a short break, meet some of the legends of the game coming up in a minute. Many, many more guests, including the commissioner of the SEC. He'll join us a little bit later on in the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we are back right here in Atlanta, and this is a rather active crowd here on a Friday afternoon, and two legends joining us now, Knowshon Moreno, never could spell your name, by the way, and Marcus Lattimore, which I had. Where'd the K come from?
You know what? It's a little combination. My dad's nickname was Knowledge, and my mom's the last bit of her name. Her name is Varashawn. So they took, you know, Knowledge, Know, and Sean and put it together. Knowshon.
So you guys missed each other a little bit. You were right before Marcus, so I'm glad to know that, because Georgia, South Carolina, not the friendliest rivalry.
Right, right. I'll tell you what, though, and I was just talking about this with Wesley Woodyard. We talked about one of the best places to play. And I'll tell you, South Carolina, man, I remember that like vividly. Coming out my freshman year, I wasn't playing, but I remember coming out that tunnel, and you can just see the upper deck, cameras flashing. I'm like, this must be what the NFL is like. So I feel like South Carolina has a great venue.
And they're so loyal. The fans go crazy. I mean, we were 5-6 this year. And it was sold out the last game.
Crazy.
You know, so, I mean, they support. They come
out. By the way, Marcus.
I love that.
I love you. He's not counting the loss to Clemson.
Uh-oh.
You didn't have to bring that up, Paul. You didn't
this man needs to be the governor of South Carolina. We're not gonna mention that loss. I like that.
We're not gonna bring it up.
We're in 5-6.
5-6.
You know, sometimes like you do something and you'll get a note from like the Visa company. Your bill has not been updated. It's been six days, Marcus.
Sickness.
Is that game? Are we still waiting for a ruling on that Clemson game?
For 358 more days.
It wasn't that close.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I've made an enemy in the Palmetto State. But you can't be in that state without being a fan of yours. And I watched you play. I saw how the impact you had when you had to deal with adversity, how that entire state all sides of the state rallied around you, and I also know the impact that you still have there.
It's profound. I take pride in it, and I'm really happy to be here representing South Carolina because it's my home state, and I learned a lot about myself through that experience. So, and I'm sitting, I mean, I'm sitting beside no Sean Moreno and Paul.
He's not fine.
But I was telling him on the way over here.
That's how they be talking.
On the way over here, we used to watch him in high school. We would skip film to watch him on Saturday in high school.
Crazy, man.
And no Sean, you have the most unlikely path to UGA. I mean, we all know where Herschel grew up and some of the other great running backs, but how in the world did you get – maybe I shouldn't be asking this. How'd you get from New Jersey to Athens, Georgia?
Yeah, it was wild.
I mean, if you were playing today, I would know how you got there, but I don't know how you got there 15, 20 years ago.
Nah, it was none of that. None of that, Paul. But one of my best good friend of mine, he played at a rival school across town, Red Bank. His name is Cade Weston. He played D lineman. And a year before I was able to get out, he went to Georgia. So it was awesome to have that familiarity with somebody that I knew, especially from my hometown. So that really meant a lot. And then, once I got to Georgia, man, it just felt at home. Mm. You know what I mean? With the coaching staff, the fans, the people. That's what really drew me to Georgia, man. It wasn't necessarily the football because I really didn't know too much about the history. I just knew about Herschel, and that was it. You know what I mean? And I didn't really watch too much football growing up, really, honestly. So once I got down there.
What are you doing?
I was outside going crazy, outside playing, going crazy, or playing video games or something. But just the people down there really drew me to Georgia. I wanted to pick a place that if I, didn't play football there, I can get a great education, and I was in a really good atmosphere around good people. So
you brought that attitude, too. He ran with a nasty attitude.
Wait, I just saw on the screen he only had 30 rushing touchdowns. I mean, I run into guys at airports, and they'll run up to me and say, hey, I played for Mississippi State in 1963, and I scored in the – I said, what else? I had that one touchdown. I'm like going, that's something to be proud of.
No doubt.
It's getting in a game some 30 rushing touchdowns?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
We had a really good team. I mean, from the outside in, Of course, we had Stafford at quarterback.
A pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, decent quarterback, right? And we had some weapons on the outside. Yeah, for sure. We had some weapons on the outside, and then we had a really good defense.
Linebackers.
Yep, just different timing.
I watched win an overtime game in 07 in Tuscaloosa, and then I was so excited, Marcus. I'm going to make an enemy here, by the way. I was able to come over to Athens for the game. Georgia started the season preseason with number one.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately went to number two. I don't remember why.
They
won, but they went to number two. And they come in there, and they're the favorite over Alabama. And, man, everybody's going crazy. And
they weren't playing no
halftime. He's going to fill in the rest of the story. I think at halftime it was 31-0.
Oh,
Alabama,
probably.
Oh,
yep. Alabama. Where were you in that? Were you playing that game?
It was in Georgia. Yeah,
it was in Athens.
Yeah. We were ranked number
Sanford
one.
State.
I was there, but I tried to forget the negative.
Stacy back there.
I tried to forget
giving
the
us a roll tide. I was just wondering, were you in that? Because I kept looking down. So
yeah.
I came here to see no shine.
The stats were really low that day.
Now,
Alabama wasn't playing.
In fairness, by the end, Georgia almost pulled the game back. You guys came back, and it was like a one-score game or something.
Yeah, they wanted to get us back from what happened, that year before. So and they came out and they handled business that day. They handled business, but. We've had some good teams, man. We played against some really, really good teams, but I definitely remember that one. They weren't playing.
A couple weeks ago, we were talking about, was it 07 or 08 when you guys were dancing on the Florida?
Ooh. That was 08. 08.
I remember that.
07, 08. Because I didn't play in 07. Okay, 08.
Okay.
Yeah.
In your career, you played during a pretty special era at South Carolina. What stands out? I mean, on the field.
What stands out on
pretty big wins.
You know what? During that time, we were dominant.
You guys were good.
I mean, we had a defense that just had a killer mentality, and that spread it over in the offense.
Just think about some of those defensive guys that played for you. I mean, it's insane.
Jadeveon, Melvin Ingram, Stephon Gilmore. I mean, you can just go down the list of how many guys still playing in the NFL.
Does that
today.
While you out to think about all the players that we had on our teams, right?
Goodness.
And we didn't get no national championships out of it. Does that not blow your mind?
Unbelievable.
Didn't Stefan, I see him a lot. He doesn't look too far from me. And he and Jadavion played in the same high school team, didn't he?
Same high school.
At Rock Hill. Can you imagine that high school team? You would not have wanted to be a running back for the across Rock Hill West.
You might be right.
West.
You might be right. We won three national championship, state championships in a row, 36-0 in my high school. So
okay.
We had a little squad.
Okay. I tried to intimidate you. You weren't buying.
Nah, I was like, we had a squad, baby. I was ready. I'll be
finally
ready.
Marcus, I'm so inspired by how you overcame the injury. You had an injury that affected your NFL career, but your injury, though, it still upsets me to see it, but you overcame that with such grace. What did you lean on?
It wasn't easy. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of lonely nights, but hope. I mean, I found hope in really the fans of South Carolina, the people in South Carolina, my beautiful wife, my mom, my family. I mean, just everybody who supported me. That's the only way I get back up, but it's just by other people, that human to human connection. I'm thriving today because of that.
Well, it's something that it's something, Marcus, and you know this because I've said this to you, but it was a moment in time that I think people knew who you were. They knew what you stood for. But I think when you see someone in adversity, Noshon, it really, and you guys all deal with it. You never know what's coming on the next play.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and you know, you talk about those injuries. Those are really tough times. Like you said, a lot of lonely times. A lot of times in the training room by yourself, there's no one else around. Early mornings and late evenings, because you're just there all day, you know, doing whatever you have to do to rehab. But so yeah, you definitely have to lean on a lot of people, lean on your coaches, lean on your teammates. You know what I mean? Lean on your family because those are definitely hard times, and it's mentally draining because you know you can get it. You know you can get out there, but you're just like, obviously I can't.
Yeah.
So sometimes that. Recovery and doing all your treatments and stuff like that, it could be tougher sometimes than being on the field itself.
Well, you guys are going to be honored here in a couple of hours at the Legends Dinner, and as somebody who's never been honored for anything, I envy both of you.
Paul, I was telling Noshon on the way over here, you're somebody that's never deviated from who you are.
Love that.
And we appreciate that.
Well, I still have the eyes of an 8 or 9 year old going to football games and looking down at guys like you, and it's never left me, and I'm just proud to welcome both of you, and congratulations tonight.
Thank you.
And
Paul,
I hope you and your families enjoy that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Holly, to say there's a lot at stake is an understatement. We all know it is a play-in game for the CFP, but it's even more than that. There are massive Heisman implications. Let's talk about that for a second, because you've been around both of these quarterbacks. You were part of that game earlier. Tell us about these two young men.
You know, it's interesting. They have some similarities in their story. Let me start with Bo Nix. He comes in as a preordained savior of Auburn football, and it doesn't go according to plan. Not only through his play, but he had three different offensive coordinators, a lot of in and out around that program, and it wasn't a smooth ride. He decides to reset his clock, and he does a great job. He gets out to Oregon, a bumpy start in his first game, but the young man continues to work. I think the resilience of Bo Nix, how he's been able to adapt as a quarterback, he has the best touchdown to interception ratio in the country. He has quit forcing the ball. He has eliminated the mistakes that he may have been known for early in his career, and he has absolutely been one of the great comeback stories in college football. On the other side, Michael Penix is exactly the same. His journey was impacted by injury, two different ACL tears, a collarbone, a clavicle, a shoulder. This young man has had a lot of injuries throughout his career, but his resilience has been on display this season. They have had to come back to win down the stretch. I think the eight of their last games, they have been down by 10 at one point in the game and have to had come back and score. So I think this Washington team as a whole has been resilient. But these two quarterbacks, they are two of the best quarterbacks I have seen with my own eyes this year. And here's what I'll tell you about Michael Penix. His precision passing, he is the most accurate quarterback I've seen all year. He will have one or two passes a game that I'm like, that was surgical. So I think you are going to see the very best that we have to offer at quarterback in this country on this field behind me tonight. Not to discount what Jaden Daniels is doing at LSU. I think he is also a very viable candidate. But these two young men, I think that whoever wins this game, they are up for a Heisman moment of how did you shine in your biggest moment. And both of these young men have been incredibly resilient in different ways.
In Hollywood, we spend so much time, and rightfully so, talking about the quarterbacks. But these two coaches are also young, unique, and also among the very best in the country.
Yeah, they're very different personalities. I have really fallen in love with Kalen DeBoer and his style of leadership this year. He has set a culture of accountability. There is a family, a really special feeling around this Husky team this year, and it stems from the head coach. He's calm. He's relaxed. The first fumble of his tenure at Washington by Dylan Johnson, the young man comes over to the sideline, and instead of getting in his face and yelling at him, he's like, how are you? Are you okay? You know, that's the kind of coach he is. He's unbelievable. I'm a huge fan of his. And on the other side, Dan Lanning, just as much of a fan in a very different way. He is using sports science and psychology and motivation in these really innovative, adaptive ways. Let me give you an example, Paul. So this week, Dan Lanning had them do all of their sports science testing, which is like the GPS, the catapult system that tells guys how fast are they running at practice. There's these force plates that they use that demonstrate how fast and high can they jump, and the force plate gives them a number. And so I think it's really important that he showed his team that their best science performance numbers of the year are happening this week, and that is giving them confidence with their bodies and how they are peaking at the right moment. So two great coaches, very different types of personalities.
Many thanks, Holly. It has been an absolute joy to be with you on these Friday afternoons, and we will see you very soon, especially like in a couple hours, on the sidelines in Vegas. We're done with the first hour here in Atlanta. Much more to come, including the commissioner of the SEC at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to two legends as well coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.